I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Tuesday, January 26th, and we have a Super Bowl to start talking about. It's the only game left in the year. It's incredible that we're already down that far. We will have a mailbag that we released before the Super Bowl leading up to it. So if you have questions about the season, questions about the Super Bowl, leave a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we will answer any and all questions. Of course, we have the championship weekend recap in the feed, and we'll have the Brady Quinn football show tomorrow. But today it's an early Super Bowl gambling preview with the one and only the Wizard of Odds, Kenny White. What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, Will. Not a good weekend for me, you know, but my numbers were so close to the betting line, and I kind of had to come up with reasons why I wanted to take one side or the other. And I came up with Aaron Rodgers was the reason I was going to be on Green Bay, and Buffalo I was on because the DVOA numbers kept showing they were so improved. And I was impressed with Josh Allen in a couple of games down the end of the year. And you know what? Every year changes. I made big mistakes in both games, and I can make reasoning why I should have been on the other sides of both these games and those two games. And now it kind of and I'd use that reasoning. I'm going to use that reasoning today, why I should have been on the opposite two sides last weekend, and which will put me on the side I like for the Super Bowl.
All right. Well, I mean, let's quickly just sort of talk about that because you had the Bills and the Packers, and I was on the Packers and the Chiefs. And I, you know, the game script for the Packers and the Bucks started out completely opposite of how I thought it would go. I thought that the Packers would jump out to an early lead. They're great at scripting drives. I thought that they would be clever in their attempts to pass the ball early and not get stuck up and running on first down. And I thought we might see the Buccaneers struggle to pick up first downs and then have to punt. Well, the Packers weren't clever about their scripting. The Buccaneers defense came out flying. And Tampa converted a bunch of insanely long third downs to sort of get out to that lead. And I really thought, you know, we saw Aaron Rodgers outplay Tom Brady. I mean, Aaron Rodgers played awesome. Everybody else just kind of screwed up. So I don't know that your reasoning was wrong in the sense that, you know, Rodgers played great and he could have been a difference maker, but a lot of decisions and a lot of mistakes made by, the offensive line was terrible. The pass catchers were bad. Matt LaFleur, certainly some questionable moves. I mean, I think so. Like, I guess I'm not trying to make you feel better about it, Kenny, but it does, you know, it doesn't feel like it was like, oh, Aaron Rodgers sucks. And that's why I lost that bet.
Yeah. No, I took +5.5 in game. So I was fortunate to collect that ticket, and I should have taken +10.5 when they fumbled, you know, and you're right. How things change. Bruce Arians made a great call to go on 4th and 5 with 13 seconds to go, you know. Most teams would have just punted there and you go into halftime with, you know, I think it was at that time 17-10 maybe.
Yep. No, it was 14-10.
14-10. It was 14-10. They get the touchdown, and then the very first play of the second half, Aaron Jones fumbles, and it's picked up and, you know, run inside the 10-yard line and touchdown. You know, the entire game changes. It's 28-10 now. Take away those two plays. And it's, you know, you could take away two plays from the Packers too, maybe in that game. If you take away those two plays and two plays from the Packers, I think the Packers still end up winning the football game.
So yeah. And I mean, then I think when you look at the Chiefs and the Bills, the Chiefs just kind of play possum on us. You know, like they won six or seven straight games. Like it's hard to, you know, it's hard to use. I mean, I correct me if I'm wrong here, Kenny, but it's hard to take into account the fact that a team might be like playing with their food, sleepwalking. You know, like you could, you can't, your power ratings can't tell you that the Chiefs are going to flick a switch and light the Bills up all of a sudden, right? I mean, that's just hard to do.
Yeah, no, I two things I think kind of fooled me in that game is, one, I kept saying all year, Buffalo may not be as good as they look because of the competition that they've played. And they'd only played a couple good teams all year, and they kind of struggled in those games. You know, playing Miami twice, Miami wasn't very good. The Jets were horrible. And New England was not a good football team. I had them 4 points below average. They just didn't have players. So, you know, that was six wins right there. You take those off the schedule. And I think they played a fairly soft schedule, you know, for the year. But anyway, the major thing was I kept upgrading their power rating. And I think they're as good as my power rating said, but they had zero experience playing in this championship game. And Josh Allen tried to do too much. And if he didn't try to,
he was trying. He's trying. He wanted that turnover.
All he had to do was take what Kansas City was giving him, and he didn't do that. He tried to go for more. He almost threw two interceptions in the first quarter of that football game because he was trying to do too much, and that was because of lack of experience. It's like, yeah. I remember Randy Johnson saying that in the playoffs, his first playoff game. He goes, "I was trying to throw it 120, and it was running up there at 92 miles an hour because I was trying too hard." And that's what Josh Allen did yesterday. He tried too hard to win that football game. So it was experience by the Chiefs being in there. Three straight games at home, championship games at home. Look at all the experience they had playing in that game. They lost one. They won one. Buffalo, first time ever in the championship game.
Yeah, I think that was sort of underplayed as well. And then, look, Tom Brady. You know, I mean, he's, you know, dude wins. You know, I mean, like, experience matters in these spots.
Yeah, so, experience matters.
Yeah, for sure. All right.
Tom Brady had all the experience in the world. And you know what? The rest of the players on Tampa did not.
Yeah.
But he knew what he, and the quarterback's the most important guy, obviously, because he's got the ball in his hand 60% of the time. So
yep.
That's the guy you got to trust in.
All right. Well, let's, so those teams advance. And I just looked at my best bets. I did terrible too. What are you going to do? There's always the Super Bowl to make it back. The Super Bowl odds, in fact, Chiefs -3. I believe it has settled in. It was 3.5 early and then settled in at 3. I saw a juiced up 3 on Sunday night. And the over, yep, -3, -120 at William Hill, over under 56.5. What are your thoughts on this spread initially, Kenny? I mean, is it a good line? You know, is this, it feels to me, so I told some friends I thought it would be 3 and 3.5, and they said they thought that would be a little short. I just can't imagine Vegas giving Tom Brady 5.5 points at a Super Bowl. That, you know, that hadn't happened since 2001, you know?
Has Tom Brady ever gotten 3 points in a Super Bowl?
No, the first one, that's it.
Yeah. So.
No, but otherwise, the only other one he wasn't a favorite in was the Seahawks game, and that was a pick 'em.
So my power ratings, I raised up Kansas City a point from yesterday's game. I thought they played really well. And that being said, I thought Tampa played better in their circumstances and situation than the Chiefs actually did, because the Chiefs were playing an inexperienced football team coming into that game. Tampa, three straight road games, had to go into Green Bay to beat the Packers, whose defense looked amazing the last 4 weeks. Their offensive line was tremendous against the best defense in football. Yep. Their running backs averaged 6 yards a carry, and they didn't sack Rodgers once. But Tampa's defensive line dominated the Packers' offensive line. So I didn't raise their rating up, but I left it the same, 108.5, and I raised Kansas City up. I only have a 2.5-point difference between the two teams. Wow. So do I give home field for the Bucs or playing at home? You know, it was on last night, Danny Cannell, he talked for 2 minutes about the advantage of playing at home. And after he said all of it, he said, well, I'll give him 1 point for that. But it was a lot. I mean, him talking about sleeping in your own bed, not traveling, don't get on an airplane, going to the stadium where you see the same people, you're in your own locker, you got your own hot tub, you got your own sauna, you got your own masseuse, everybody that you deal with day in and day out, it's the same people, same place, same time. And then there's going to be 17,000 or 15,000 first responders in the stadium that are all Tampa Bay fans.
That is 7,500 first responders, but 22,000 total fans. And I would anticipate that I think it'll be 50%. Just by default, minimum 50% yeah. Tampa Bay fans, you know? I mean, like, I think there'll probably be some Chiefs fans there because Chiefs fans travel and they're loud and they're, you know, going for back to backs. But I mean, I would anticipate plenty of Tampa Bay fans. So yeah, I think we talked about this on the recap podcast actually, and Breach brought it up. Is it possible that KC -3 is actually built in, like is building in some home field advantage for Tampa Bay there?
My numbers don't say that because if I give a point and a half, I think Kansas City should be one in the game. So when the number opened 3 last night, went to 3.5, they were asking me, Eric Casilius was asking me on the show last night, where do you think the number's going to go? I got to trust my number. And I said, the 3.5's going to come back to the 3, and 3 being such a key number in football, I think that's where it's going to stay. I think it's going to be on 3 the entire time because sooner or later, bookmakers are not going to want to move off the 3. It's too dangerous of a number for them with the volume of money coming into this game. There just has to be an avalanche of Chief money to move off this. And I just don't see that happening because I think there's going to be plenty of support for Tampa because there was plenty of support for Tampa against the Packers.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
That line never moved. I mean, it was 68% ticket count on Green Bay, which all the little guys were betting Green Bay with us. And then the sharp guys were taking the 3 with Tom Brady. So yeah. I think the sharps are going to take the 3 with the Bucks again in this situation.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I also think that, like, to your point, you're talking about the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes, who are a very popular public team. And you're talking about the Bucks with Tom Brady, who have a very good defense, and Tom Brady. Like, there's no need for the books to slide this line all over the place. It's just it's not going to go to 4 and then to 2, because then there's a really good chance that, you know, people like are able to middle the crap out of the sports books. So,
they can't middle, but they can side them. The last thing the book wants is $10 million -3 on the Chiefs and $10 million +3.5 on the Buccaneers.
Because if it
lands 3, they lose $10 million.
Right, exactly. Or, to my point, like if you get a +4 and a -2 and it lands 3, you could potentially middle it. That's why they're just not going to do that unless it's like Brady gets COVID or, you know, Brady is injured or something like that or something happens to Mahomes. I think that's the only way you would see it really flying around. And with this number that they have right now, where it's Chiefs -3 and it's juiced up to -120, you have to assume that the tickets are probably going to be heavier on Kansas City, right? And if that's the case, then you're picking up a little extra tax there on the juice by making it 120, which is a nice little boost, right?
Already 55% of the tickets right now are on Kansas City. And Will, this will be interesting because the general public, they just, you know, they're going to bet the favorite. And I'm going to say general public will be on the favorite in the Super Bowl. 70% of them are going to lay the 3. But when they're looking money line, 70% of that general public are going to take the dog plus the 145 plus the 150. So I got a feeling at kickoff, you might be able to get the Chiefs at -145 or -150 at kickoff.
Well, so that's the question. If we don't think the spread is
3.
We don't think the spread is going to move, and neither you and I both don't think it's going to move. Like it just makes too much sense for the books. You have 3. It's possible it's a push, but you let it sit at 3 all week, all for the next 2 weeks and just see how the tickets count stack up. And if you somehow get like 10-1 Chiefs actual cash, then maybe it changes. But it's not like this is a consensus either. You know, it varies book to book, sports book to sports book. And so, maybe you see some 3.5s. Maybe, I don't know.
Every book in Iowa is getting Kansas City money for sure.
Right. Exactly. And whereas what's the nearest, I guess Virginia is the closest. Tennessee, maybe you can't gamble near Florida somehow.
Yeah. West Virginia.
Yeah. That's right. So, so you see the money line sliding back a little bit towards Kansas City possibly.
Yeah, because that's what happens every year. When people are looking to make a bet, I don't want to lay $1.50 because they all ask, if I bet the $1.50, I bet $100 on -150, what do I get? Oh, you're going to get $67.
Yeah.
I don't like that. What if I bet the other team? Well, you're going to get 150.
And you're like, and, well, that's way better.
Well, that's way better. I'm going to take that. I'll go with Tom Brady and take that big play. So they're going to bet that and that's going to drop. And I'm going to look right now, my money line charts for the NFL. What I should know off the top of my head, but a 3-point favorite, no juice money line is $1.41 is what the true price is.
Oh, wow.
So it should be -50 +30.
Okay.
So we're looking at -70 +50, and that's because the threes are all juiced up about 20 cents.
Yep.
You know, if you're going to get -3 right now, you're laying $1.25.
Oh, wow.
So really? I see $1.20 at William Hill. -3, -20.
Yeah. I see, -20 at William Hill. I actually see on an offshore, -3.5, -105. So it's all about in the same range.
Right.
And yeah, like, so we could see the money line come back a little bit if there's a bunch of Bucks money. And typically speaking, with these games, with a Super Bowl, you've got 2 weeks. So it's like, it's not like it's going to go 2 weeks and sit there and then suddenly the line's just going to take off flying. You know, we saw that with the Chiefs and Browns prior to that playoff game, but that's really more the exception than the rule, right?
Yes, that is the exception. It really is. That was shocking to see that day that they jumped on, and the bettors that bet that were very fortunate that Patrick Mahomes went out. If he doesn't go out, the Chiefs may cover that game too. Cause all I could think of was, you know what? Motivation is everything in sports, and Kansas City was not motivated their last 7-8 games of the season that they went 1-7 ATS. They could have cared less. All they wanted to do was get the playoffs started.
Yep.
And when it started, they turned it on against the Browns. But
that first drive, it was like, oh, the Chiefs are here.
They're back.
Yep. And Mahomes, I didn't think showed any like lingering concerns with that toe at all against the Bills. He was mobile, as mobile as he needed to be, moved to the pocket, made great throws. And now he has 2 weeks to heal up. I mean, he should be fine for a 60-minute stretch. What about the total here? 56.5. I think it opened at 56 and has climbed a half a point, but fairly stagnant. You know, I actually thought this might run up a little bit closer to 58. But maybe the books are a little worried about sharps coming in and hammering those unders, because typically speaking, these unders tend to hit at a higher rate in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, it's such a big game. You know, the teams play a little closer to the vest, but you got two teams that can really throw the football. I made the total 57.5.
Okay.
There was some 57.5s yesterday when they opened. I think they opened 56, went to 57.5. No, I see 57 was kind of the main opener. But it did go up to 57.5, and then some under money came in, and I'm seeing 56 kind of the main market number right now. I think that's a good number. I think it stays right there. I'm going to look to maybe bet the second quarter over.
Ooh.
If I can get a 16.5, if it drops to 16.5.
Chiefs have been the highest scoring second quarter team in football, I believe. And you saw it on Sunday night. They scored 3 touchdowns in, you know, rapid fire succession. So, do they have that? Is that total to William Hill? They probably haven't posted that yet.
It's 17 right now.
Oh, 17. Okay. Yeah. So all right, cool. Nice. So you'd be looking for second quarter over. Wow, you can get the Chiefs at second quarter money line -121.
And they're the highest scoring, and they're the highest scoring team. When I go in with one side, which I took 3.5 with Tampa. As I mentioned, I made the number. I have a 2.5-point difference in the power rating between the two teams, and I'm going to give a 1.5 for home field for Tampa Bay. So I think Kansas City should be 1. I took 3.5, and I will be on Tampa for most of the props, most of the quarters, and anything. I won't be on Kansas City for anything unless it's a prop bet for a player prop.
Okay, so you really think this is Tampa Bay Super Bowl to win?
Well, I have to stick with my numbers. I have to trust my process, and my process tells me this is what I make the game. And, you know, I'm not going to second guess myself. And I've got a bigger difference in this game than I had the two playoff games, because I made Kansas City 3. And I took 3.5 with the Bills. I only had a 0.5-point difference. And I actually, my power ratings had, Green Bay 2.5 over Tampa. And I ended up laying 3 in the game because of all of the 3 straight road games.
Yep.
Rodgers is 64% at home. and then a little bit more current form and how well Green Bay had been playing. And that's why I laid Green Bay. I even went against my number there. So this one, at least I've got a 2.5 point edge. And that's what I look for, is 2.5 points to make a bet. So okay. I've actually got enough of room to actually make a real bet in the Super Bowl. And that's why I took 3.5
and feel good about it. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, and look, like I said, it's Tom Brady. And you know, the other thing that I think people are sleeping on a little bit, the Buccaneers defense was awesome against the Packers. I mean,
they were.
Aaron Rodgers played an incredible game, and it's still, you know, they sacked him 5 times. JPP and Shaq Barrett were all, like,
wow, they were
crazy off the edge. And both of the starting tackles, Eric Fisher now out with an Achilles injury and Mitchell Schwartz has been out, are going to be missing for Patrick Mahomes. So I don't, my only concern is that I just think they're such a different beast on offense with the way that they do motion and jet sweeps and all of that, that I don't know if that pass rush will necessarily be quite as effective against Kansas City, even with the missing tackles, just because Mahomes can do things to sort of mitigate that pressure by getting the ball out quickly and all of that. But I mean, yeah, certainly, you know, Tampa, if they're at home, they got a great defense. It's Tom Brady in the Super Bowl. Good luck betting against him. You don't really see a need though to get on this number now on either like the total or the spread, right?
I don't think so. I think if you like the Bucs and you can find 3.5,
go ahead and take that.
I think you take that because you're never going to see 4.
No. But you're not going to see 2.5 either.
No, you're not going to see 2.5. If you like the Bucs or the Kansas City Chiefs, the favorite, I think you can wait on this as long as possible and don't lay the 3. You lay $1.50. If you can lay $1.50, you're laying a good price, I think, in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So, cause I mean, like, yeah, if you can get $1.50 on the money line, just not worry about the spread versus laying -3, -120.
Yeah, you got three big numbers going. 1, 2, 3 are all key numbers in the NFL. I like that.
All right, so the play is the money line then, but wait on it if you like Kansas City. Obviously, if there's some breaking news or something like that, that would be different. Are there any sort of, I mean, they've already got these touchdown scores out. I know that's, you know, usually it's crazy because it used to be, Kenny, you had to kind of wait till like the Sunday before, like you had to wait a week before you'd have the spread up.
Well,
like,
Westgate, they get together Wednesday night this week. Okay. They're 2 days from now. Maybe they moved it up because the rest of the world has now jumped in, but the Westgate was the king of the props.
Right. And they do a whole prop packet on Thursday.
Yeah. So Thursday would be the day they reveal those, but Wednesday night they get together, the entire staff, and they go over and they come up with 400 plus props and they release them on Thursday. So
yeah. And I saw, Circus Sports had tweeted, here's our release: Wednesday, Circus Squares; Thursday, Super Bowl MVP odds; Friday, player to score first touchdown; Saturday, two sided props; and Sunday, index props. So they're like rolling out these things like on a schedule. It's crazy how this has become such a huge deal in terms of how those are rolled out. Is there anything that off the top of your head that you would want to jump on early if you saw it pop up? I mean, or is it just you need to see them and figure out what it is aside from quarter?
Yeah, I'm going to go over mine. I'm going to go over each player and make a projection on each player. I like to do that. I'd rather make my number up, come up with, I think, what it should be. And then I'll compare to what they have. So. That'll take me
The only real like actionable items here for this game for you based on your numbers are Bucks +3.5 if you can get it. Otherwise, if you see 3, wait. I mean, you don't want to buy it if you can help it. You'd rather get the 3.5 just normal, and then second quarter over 16.5.
Yep, that's what I'm looking for. Okay. Just since my total is 57.5, I think that second quarter. The first quarter, I feel like it's that, you know, the heavyweight title fight where they're feeling themselves out early.
For sure.
And then you can get a break like yesterday I did with Kansas City because I went over 16.5 in that game and they're down on the 5-yard line and they could have gotten off another play and they could have scored a touchdown, but they're smart and they say, you know what? Let's let the clock run down. We'll talk about what play we want to do. And then the boom, first play of the second quarter, get a touchdown. Like, yes,
and you're feeling 15 very minutes. Good.
Yeah. And you know you're going to get that late opportunity for a score in the, you know, the last 2 minutes because the teams will go into the 2-minute offense and try to get a touchdown. So,
what about in terms of, you know, you mentioned that you got Green Bay +5. Was that right? Or
in game +5.5.
plus 5.5, which ended up being, you love the Matt LaFleur field goal then.
I didn't think it was the right move, but I understood why he was doing it because, you know, it took the pressure off making the 2-point conversion. But again, you couldn't beat any of those teams with field goals. You know, even if Kansas City had to kick field goals against Buffalo, there's a shot they could have lost that game.
Absolutely.
You got to score touchdowns.
That Buffalo field goal at the end screwed my second half under. I cannot believe it's like 3 penalties versus 1 penalty. And they offset that. How does that offset? Like, back about 15 yards. Don't let them kick. So looking at the Super Bowl then from like a live betting perspective, are there any game scripts in your mind that you would think about attacking? I think probably the obvious one is Tampa 10-0 lead, Chiefs in the over, right? I mean, like that's.
Yeah. Cause Kansas City feels good about they can come back on anybody.
Yeah, for sure.
If either team falls behind 10-0, you know, I would look to play the other side. So I think in a lot of these sports, you can kind of put a number in your head and say, all right, the Chiefs are -3 for the game. If at any point I can get +4.5 on the Chiefs or more, should probably jump in because there's a touchdown difference now. And then the other way, if you can get the Bucks +10.5 or more at any time, it might be an opportunity to jump in there. I like to have those type of edges going for me.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good idea and a good thought process for it. And the other thing too is don't feel like you just have to get one side. You know, if you can get the Chiefs +4.5 and then they score 3 straight times and you can get the Bucks +10.5. Right. Those windows are there though, for sure.
That's a good middle. You can definitely middle that. That game yesterday was very, you know, very easily to middle too.
The Chiefs were +105 on the money line.
+2.5 at one point.
The Chiefs were +2.5.
Yeah, +2.5 when they fell behind 9-0, they were actually getting 2.5. I saw.
Why was that?
I was just about to take it and I missed it. And
that's what happened. They scored too fast.
Yeah,
they did. Because I was like, all right, yeah, like I'm gonna get some Chiefs here, and then all of a sudden it was like they were -250. You're like, whoa, like I cannot lay that.
Exactly.
And in hindsight, would have been a good move. All right, so we think. This is going to be a fairly boring Super Bowl week then in terms of the line movement, which is fine. But it is like, I'm just thinking like, you know, there've been some years where you could see some fluctuation and bouncing around, but this just feels like it's going to sit at 3. It's going to be the deference to Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And we'll see what happens when it shakes out. Right.
Yeah. You're right about line. It will be a boring week for line movement, but, more and more books putting props up. So we're going to have 400 or 500 props to be able to
sift through. That's right. When those come out, we'll obviously find some value for everybody and hopefully hit some winners. All right, Kenny, any other thoughts on the Super Bowl before we get out of here?
You know, again, experience is so big and Kansas City being there last year, and winning it is definitely something you really got to take a look at. But then, as I said, Tom Brady has been to, he's going to be, if he wins this one, it's Tom Brady with the most Super Bowl rings. Then you go to organizations. So, he'll be above all the organizations. He's that good. And so he's got the experience. He's been there, done it. Arians has been there. Antonio Brown, I don't know if he's been to a Super Bowl or not, but he's going to be back. That's another weapon for Brady. I think that they'll be fine because their leader, Brady, is not going to be deer in the headlights. He knows what he needs to be done and he's going to do it. The rest of the team's following along all year long. They're like, hey, we'll follow you. You know what to do. And that's what they keep doing. So,
yep. You bring a pro in and he turns, turns everybody into a better player, a better teammate. And that's exactly what Tom Brady did. All right. Yeah. Follow Kenny at KYDVegas on Twitter. Watch him on CBS Sports HQ. And I'm sure we will have you back on. You'll probably be back on the show a couple times.
I have 200 to spend.
I think everybody's going to need some longer shot props because everybody got their face hit into them. Thanks, buddy, as always. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Will.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.